Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and joining me from New York City, my co-host, my brother in Christ, Mr. David Paxton.
Howdy.
David, we have a full show today that might even bleed over to another show. I don't know yet, because what we're going to do today is we're going to tell everybody what the root of conflict in Israel is. And this is something that really, this is really a cool show because people can actually look at current events that are going on basically any TV screen anywhere in the world, and then go to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and they'll get all the answers that they need as to what's going on. And then the Bible continues and goes on and tells us how it all comes out. Really cool stuff, you know, and we're going to get into it deep today. And I'm really looking forward. I'm really, really looking forward to this. So anyway, before we get into Israel, and trust me, this is going to be short, guys. It really is. We're going to run a couple of news clips. Really still has a lot to do with Israel. Let's listen to this one first.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Benji Hire. Ukraine has a right to fire back into Russian territory with British-supplied weapons, says UK Foreign Secretary David Cameron, who's pledged continued support for the war-torn country. Simon Gaitan reports.
Cameron promised just over $3.5 billion of military aid every year for as long as it takes. On the topic of whether Ukraine had the right to strike targets inside Russian territory, Cameron was reported as saying that Ukraine absolutely has the right to strike back at Russia. Other nations, such as Germany, have put conditions on their supply of weapons to Ukraine that they are not used on Russian territory. A Kremlin spokesperson said that the use of British weapons to strike Russian territory would be a direct escalation.
Britain's governing Conservatives have been handed a major electoral drubbing overnight, losing multiple councils, mayorships and constituencies to the opposition Labour Party. Newly elected Member of Parliament Chris Webb flipped his seat for Labour.
People wanted change and they did that with their feet tonight. People are fed up with this government, they're fed up with being let down and they want change and that's what they voted for.
The Conservative losses, described by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak as disappointing, are a cause of concern for his party, with a general election looming later this year. Labour's demanding it be brought forward following its gains. Turkey suspended all trade with Israel over its offensive in Gaza, citing the worsening humanitarian tragedy in the Palestinian territory.
Okay, so it's okay for England to basically go ahead and go to war with Iran, and they think that's fine. I mean, that's what I get out of that. I don't know. I mean, Iran is backing Russia, and now, now all of a sudden it's okay for them to use weapons, English weapons against Russians in this Ukrainian thing. I don't get it. I don't understand why they would put themselves out on like that. It's kind of crazy, but the world's crazy right now. What do you think about it, David? I'm going to move to another room real quick you're talking.
It's just nuts all over the place. I mean, you know, just all you got to do is look at the news and all these encampments, you know, which so coincidentally all have the exact same tents in all the different protests that are going on all around the country. So somebody must have ordered them special. But you see, they're doing crazy stuff. Like they're demanding that the schools actually, you know, provide stuff for them. And they're like, oh, and we want vegan burgers and we want this. And it's like,
yeah, and we do not, and we've been triggered because the police moved in and did what they should have done on day one. And we've been triggered now, and snowflakes are coming out in mass saying, you know, cancel final exams and give us all a passing grade. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
And then the other one, what was Northwest? One of the colleges are like, oh, okay, well, everyone who's a Palestinian gets free tuition now. It's just, it's bizarro world. Yeah. It really is.
All right, moving on from that, let's listen to this one, because this this is where we begin. I told you this is going to be Israel heavy all day. Here we go.
Dozens of NGOs have written a joint letter to US President Joe Biden, warning him of the dire risks of an Israeli incursion into the southern Gazan city of Rafah. Israel's prime minister is vowing to conduct an operation into Rafah, saying the remaining Hamas battalions are stationed there. But the US says it's yet to see a clear and credible plan on how Israel intends getting more than 1 million displaced Palestinians out. Sarah Coates has more from Tel Aviv.
The joint letter warns that displaced Palestinians in Rafah are effectively trapped with no safe alternatives, saying many of them are too young, elderly, sick, starving, injured or disabled to move again, with the NGOs urging Biden to prevent such an operation occurring in order to avoid further catastrophic loss of civilian lives. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said earlier this week that a military incursion will happen in Rafah with or without a hostage and ceasefire deal, despite the United States warning it does not support an IDF operation that doesn't protect civilians. Sarah Coates, Tel Aviv.
Okay, so Israel won't tell the United States what its plan is because the United States will leak that information to the people that Israel is after. That's really the bottom line, isn't it, David?
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't do it either.
I think that's
brilliant of them. You know, yeah. The United States of America Corporation is not the America that we know and love and understand.
So, President Eisenhower said, beware of the military-industrial complex. And that's exactly what we have now. And he predicted it, and he was correct. And God told us in advance what was going to happen to Israel, and it's coming true, and it's coming true right in front of our very eyes. And anybody that wants to pick up a newspaper or turn on TV, or I don't care. You can listen to MSNBC. You can listen to CNN. I don't care, because they've got to report what they see. They can spin it any way they want to, but I'm going to read this. This is from the Jerusalem Post this morning. Mm-hmm. Okay. Israel's message to Iran, we will act to destroy your nuclear threat. Now, this article states that the Islamic Republic is not only a threat to Israel, but to the entire world. And it will continue on that path until it has a bomb in hand or the world finally wakes up and puts a stop to it, which the world will not do according to the Bible. Okay. It says, Iran is clearly a nuclear threshold country today, according to a great majority of scientists. What is unclear is exactly when we can expect a full nuclear Iran. Now, the chairman of the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, that's Rafael Grossi, claimed this week that Iran is not months but weeks away from possessing enough enriched uranium to develop a nuclear bomb. He clarified, however, this does not signify that Iran will avail itself of nuclear weapons within the time frame. I say that they will do it as soon as they understand that the United States is not going to do anything to them. Do you have a comment on that?
No, I mean, that here we are again in the middle of everything. And I think, they're bent on it. And later on in the show, we're going to look into Ishmael and his descendants and and the sons of Keturah as well as Esau. And, this has been on their mind for, 3,000 years. So what's new?
Yeah, actually longer than that.
Yeah. I mean, how far back was Abraham?
6,000 years. Yeah.
Yeah, I think four. We'll get some dates on it.
Yeah, again, the report I'm reading here from the Jerusalem Post, this is the reason why we're so positive that it's going to be really easy. Anybody watching this show is going to be able to put everything together. Mm-hmm. And I'm going
to encourage, honest, they'll be able to put it together.
I'm going to encourage everybody out there that wants the truth out to copy this video. I give you my full permission. Just send it to everybody you know. Everybody you know. Okay. By the way, there's another show on. It's on Peacock right now. It's called The Tattooist of Auschwitz. If you get an opportunity to view that, I think it ought to be mandatory that everybody that protests watch the entire thing. It's like four hours altogether, something like that, 4 or 5 hours. I watched the whole thing. It got me from frame one, and I watched the whole thing. It is incredible.
Wow.
Okay. So anyway.
Maybe play it at the encampments.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They ought to all have to view it because it's all about the concentration camps. You know, it's so real. It's so real that it just blows my mind, really. Anyway, the obvious question, according to the Jerusalem Post here, what exactly did Israel do to Islamic Iran and the belligerent Arab states that so despise us and wish to destroy what they term the Zionist entity? And then they put this in caps, root of the conflict. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the root of the conflict. So in order to do that, David, I think we've got to start in Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. You want to read these for me?
Yeah, let's do it. Oh, here's something funny.
Okay.
It went away.
It went away. Okay, well, I got it. I hear it.
Now, it's back.
Okay, go ahead.
Verse 4. And all right, so he went into Hagar and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said to Abraham, or Sarai at the time, said to Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. And the Lord judge between me and thee.
Yeah.
How far you want to go?
Okay, well.
Okay, up to 8? All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then, but Abram said to Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand to do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain of the way to Shur. And she said, and he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou? Where'd you come from? And where are you going? She said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai.
And then,
the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to your mistress and submit yourselves under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man, and his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren.
Okay, let's hold up for right now, mm-hmm. right there for just a minute,
right,
because going again back to the report here, it said that in an interview with the Epoch Times, Rabbi Kuri Churchick explained that to understand the essence of the conflict, it was necessary to go straight to the source, to the biblical story of Ishmael, born to Abraham by Sarah's immigrant slave girl. Once Sarah realized that she was not able to bear children of her own, she selected the Egyptian prince Hagar as a surrogate so that Abraham could father a son and heir. Now, Rabbi Chiriki said that the moment Isaac was born, the birthright and the inheritance went straight to him, even though he was 13 years younger than Ishmael. This was in accordance with the code of Hammurabi?
Yeah, Hammurabi. Yep.
Okay, the legal.
It was basically the law system back then.
Yeah. But Ishmael refused to recognize Isaac, his younger half-brother, as the father's heir. Now, here's the important part. It says that most Arabs see themselves as descendants of Ishmael and are unwilling to accept the validity of Judaism. As far as Islam is concerned, since the arrival of Muhammad, born as late as the 6th century, all other religions, including Christianity and Judaism, are unimportant, and Islam is the one true religion. Before Islam, the Arabs were idolaters, and they themselves divided their history into two periods, the period of enlightenment and the period of Islam. Islam is a return to the God of Abraham, but not to the God of Isaac. So this is something I've asked this question, I think, a million times to different scholars. Do the Muslims, you know, are they the descendants of Ishmael? And I get a variety of answers. What's your position on that, David? I mean, are they the descendants, or are they just claiming to be the descendants?
No, here, check this out. It's the word Arab means mingled or mixed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you look at Jubilees, you know, the short story is Abraham was dying, mm-hmm. and he gathered all his sons together, and there was the sons of Keturah as well, because that's the trick question I always ask everybody: how many sons did Abraham have? And inevitably they'll say, well, it was Isaac was that son, but he had Ishmael as well. And they don't realize when he was 137, he got married again and had six more kids with Keturah. so it's six more sons there. So what happened is they all got together, and they, since Isaac was the firstborn by right, he gave to Ishmael and to his sons and the sons of Keturah gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son. And I'm in Jubilees 20, verse 11, and sent them away, and he gave him everything to Isaac, his son. And Ishmael and his sons and the sons of Keturah and their sons went together to dwell from Paran, entering in of Babylon in the land which is towards the east facing the deserts, and these mingled with each other, and their name was called Arabs and Ishmaelites.
Okay.
So yes, they were. But later on we also see that they mixed with Esau and his descendants. So basically you'll see this in a Jubilees. I think Jasher probably have it too. Gotta find over there. There's another story in Jasher as well. But basically, Esau married one of Ishmael's daughters, okay, and they all mixed together as well in the next generation. So all of them are mixed together, and that's what the word Arab means. So they are descendants of Ishmael and descendants of Esau,
right,
and descendants of Keturah's kids.
Mm-hmm. And descendants of Abraham, really.
And they are descendants of Abraham, but remember, that was Abraham's own work. It wasn't the work of God.
Exactly.
And that's symbolic of us. Okay, we can try and do things on our own, and we're going to get an Ishmael. We're going to get the brawler. You know, and it says even in the Bible, it's all over. It says he'll be a brawler.
Yeah.
And even in their own doctrine, they said, well, we're going to fight, and if we can't find someone else to fight, we'll fight amongst each other.
What
they do.
They
all hate each other too, because that's the way it is, and they're mad because they didn't get the inheritance. Can I read out of Jasher for a second?
Sure, go right ahead.
All right, so here they are. In Jasher it talks about it's Ishmael the son of Hagar and Eliezer were the two men that Abraham brought up to the mountain to sacrifice Isaac.
Now, real quick, okay. David, tell us where that's coming from, because that's not coming from the Bible. It's coming from what?
No, that's in the book of Jasher.
Okay.
And it's in Jasher, verse 20, but which chapter? Hang on one second.
Okay.
Chapter 23?
Okay.
Jasher chapter 23. And verse 20 is where I'm starting at. So we got to take it with a grain of salt, because it's, you know, Jasher wasn't canonized, and some of it's been corrupted. But this has, you know, there's no reason to have a different narrative here. So just listen and see what it says. It says, Abraham went up with Isaac, his son, to bring him up as an offering before the Lord, as he had commanded him. And Abraham took two of his young men with him, Ishmael, the son of Hagar, and Eliezer, his servant. Now, Ishmael is basically his own work, but Eliezer means God is my helper. And Eliezer was a picture of the Holy Spirit. Abraham is the exalted father, the Holy Spirit, and then the son who was in the house. So, it's interesting picture that they're painting here. So that might be a picture that they are painting, is my point with reading the book of Jasher. And they went together with them, and whilst they were walking in the road, the young men spoke these words to themselves. And Ishmael said to Eliezer, now my father Abraham is going with Isaac to bring him up for a burnt offering to the Lord, as he commanded him. Now, when he returns, he will give to me all that he possesses to inherit after him, for I am his firstborn. And Eliezer answered Ishmael and said, surely Abraham did cast thee away with thy mother, and swear that thou should not inherit anything of all he possesses. Mm-hmm. And to whom will he give all the gifts that he has with all his treasures, but unto me, his servant, who has been faithful in his house and who has served him night and day and done all that he has desired me. To me, he will bequeath at his death all that he possesses. So here is this fight going on even before Isaac was, you know, he was on his way to be sacrificed.
Right.
Uh-huh. And they're fighting about who's getting the inheritance. So that's interesting there. It seems like that's all that Ishmael wanted. Wasn't concerned about his brother in the least. So it's just interesting, don't you think?
I do. And, you know, I think that it actually is supporting evidence of what is written in the Bible itself. You know, that's how I look at it. You are Eliezer correct.
He does ask, well, Eliezer will be my only heir then. That's what Abraham says.
Yeah. And you are correct in that Sarai, at that point, her name, was the one that decided that she was going to give this other woman to Abram.
Mm-hmm.
So that was not a blessed by God situation. That was a created by human being situation. And the one that was actually blessed by God was the one that, I believe it was angels came and said, you know, that you're going to bear a son. And she laughed about it at her age.
They waited. God waited until they couldn't possibly do it themselves.
Right, exactly. And, you know, now we have a mutual friend, and I think it's important. I'm going to introduce him here. Mr. Mike Spaulding gave a presentation, and I've got this broken down into three different clips, and I'm hoping that we'll have time to get to all of them. If not, we'll move this on to Monday, or next week, I should say. Anyway, let's listen to this one real quick. If I can make it go. Here we go.
I know the end is near because the nations are in an uproar against Israel. Never forget, folks, Israel is God's timepiece. You want to know what time it is on God's graph, on God's timetable? All you got to do is look at Israel. What's going on with Israel? And secondarily to that, what is the United States doing in relation to Israel? You know why we're having so many problems in America today? Well, part of the reason is the hatred, the betrayal, the lying and the hypocrisy of our politicians toward Israel.
Okay, and I believe that that's a factual statement. Now, I'm inserting that as a member of the U.S. Press Association, and this is biblical. So, you know, you may not like it, but it's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that all countries are going to turn their back on Israel when they need them the most, which will bring on the Gog and Magog war spoken of in Ezekiel 38. And you're going to hear Mike talk about Ezekiel 38 here in just a minute. But do you see this, David, all these protests that are going on? All these kids are going to grow up, and they're going to eventually be our politicians. Eventually, they're going to be our congressmen, our senators, our presidents, if things continue to go down this road. And the United States of America continues to let people in. You can like it, you can dislike it, whatever, but there's millions of people that came in, and we have no idea who they are. We don't know if they're terrorists or good people. We have no idea, but I guarantee you there's some bad ones in there. David, you want to comment on any of this?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this before as well. I mean, we've seen the protests. We haven't seen World War I, World War II, but we've certainly seen Vietnam and some of the stuff that's been there.
Right.
But the Lord, in his mercy, because the church is still here, the Holy Spirit is still here, so he keeps that down for now. Mm-hmm. So, I see it as an escalation towards the rapture and the coming of the Lord. And when he says, you know, in 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, oh, the, you know, the falling away. But if you read that in context, that word apostasia can actually mean depart as well, because it's talking about the rapture at that point. So he says, oh, when, you know, when the departure will come first. And then people over the years have translated, oh, the falling away must mean they departed from the truth. No, it means a departing from the earth.
Right.
Is really what it means, apostasia, in the context that it's written. But so if we are still here as a church, this will be held down to wait until the time that the church is gone, then the Holy Spirit kind of goes out with it and just comes upon people again at that point, like the Old Testament. But then we'll see all this chaos starting to rule and reign all over the earth, and then they will be those people, but they have a short time. The devil has a short time, so he's going to try and ramp it up.
Yeah. So what I really want to get into in this show, and we're getting down here toward the end of the first half of the show, so we'll have to do this in a second, but you know, I really want to show how current events right now playing out are are something that God told us would happen in the very first book of the Bible. You know, it's incredible.
Right out of the gate.
I mean, when you look at it, it is totally incredible. And, you know, David does a Bible study, our midweek show, every week. And, David, real quick, I'll let you talk about that, and then we'll save the rest of this for the second half of the show. But
I
think
good.
It's important to get into Genesis in detail now, because that's where we're at with your Bible study.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, everything is written in there. It's Wild Beginning is the name of the book, but it lays out the entire plan for the history of the world. So it's not just what happened then. There's meanings within each thing. There's metaphors and there's allusions to the spiritual world, but it also lays out the history of the world as well. And then you know, we see all bits and details in between telling us all the parts, but then Revelation wraps it up at the end. But it's going to be exciting, and I would highly recommend you guys stick around for the second half. We just have to run some commercials and stuff. But it's going to be beautiful.
Well, there's some stations that just take us, and you know, they run the whole thing right away, and then others, including YouTube, like to hold us up a little bit. Anyway, we'll be back with the second half right after a very short break.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Benji Hire. Ukraine has a right to fire back into Russian territory with British-supplied weapons, says UK Foreign Secretary David Cameron, who's pledged continued support for the war-torn country. Simon Gaitan reports.
Cameron promised just over $3.5 billion of military aid every year for as long as it takes. On the topic of whether Ukraine had the right to strike targets inside Russian territory, Cameron was reported as saying that Ukraine absolutely has the right to strike back at Russia. Other nations, such as Germany, have put conditions on their supply of weapons to Ukraine that they are not used on Russian territory. A Kremlin spokesperson said that the use of British weapons to strike Russian territory would be a direct escalation.
Britain's governing Conservatives have been handed a major electoral drubbing overnight, losing multiple councils, mayorships and constituencies to the opposition Labour Party. Newly elected Member of Parliament Chris Webb flipped his seat for Labour.
People wanted change, and they did that with their feet tonight. People are fed up with this government, they're fed up with being let down, and they want change, and that's what they voted for.
The Conservative losses, described by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak as disappointing, are a cause of concern for his party, with a general election looming later this year. Labour's demanding it be brought forward following its gains. Turkey suspended all trade with Israel over its offensive in Gaza, citing the worsening humanitarian tragedy in the Palestinian territory. In the United States, Donald Trump can testify at his ongoing trial, according to the judge overseeing the case. That's despite the former president's gag order for targeting participants of the trial, a restriction he claims is denying his freedom of speech. But the New York judge insists Trump is still allowed to take the stand in this criminal trial, the first of four he faces as he vies for the Oval Office again. Prosecutors accuse Mr. Trump of falsifying business records to cover up an affair with an adult film star and keep the story out of the news at the height of his presidential campaign, an attempt, they say, to influence the outcome of the 2016 election. Donald Trump has pleaded not guilty to all charges. And liftoff, a world first as China launches a probe to collect samples from the far side of the moon. An uncrewed rocket blasted off on Friday afternoon to return in several weeks with 2 kilograms of lunar samples. Our Asia correspondent Laura Westbrook has the details.
The planned 53-day mission would see the lander touch down in a crater on the moon's far side, which never faces Earth. It marks a key milestone in China's push to become a dominant space power, with plans to land astronauts on the moon by 2030.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and I'm joined there by Mr. David Paxton. And David, in the first half of the show, we got a little bit into what Mike Spaulding was teaching, mm-hmm. and it fits today very, very well. So I'm going to continue with it. Okay, so let's listen to this really quick clip here.
Yahweh declared long ago that I will bless those who bless you. In the context of that, some people like to argue, well, he was just talking to Abraham. He was talking to Abraham's prodigy. He was talking to his descendants. We're getting very close to Ezekiel 37 and 38, and we're seeing the nations come together against Israel.
And we are seeing the nations coming against Israel. Anybody mm-hmm. that picks up a newspaper or watches it on TV, like I said, you can even watch CNN, MSNBC, which I don't recommend anyone do. Okay, but in this particular case, all they're doing is, and it's a mystery to them that they're doing it. They have no clue that they're actually confirming everything in the Bible, but that's exactly what they're doing, right, David?
Exactly. I mean, they read it. Even in, we're in Genesis mm-hmm. and 16, let me see, you were with the child, 16:11 mm-hmm. says, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You'll call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction, and he shall be a wild man, and his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. Mm-hmm. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And that's what we see in Hagar when, you know, all the brothers that he had were half-brothers, really, but they mm-hmm. were from Keturah. And then, you know, later on, Esau even came into the mix because he was technically the firstborn that lost it as well.
Right.
So yeah. Then she called the name of the Lord. You are the God who sees, for here I have seen the Lord. So, yeah, he's seen the Lord, but he's a wild man, and he wants the inheritance, okay? And then they went off the deep end when they, you know, got this Muhammad clown on there who couldn't even read and basically was a drunk, mm-hmm. but he had this vision, and the angel yeah. came by, you know, and talked to him. But and he said, oh, it's a demon. And his wife's like, no, it's Gabriel. And he's like, no, it's a demon. Mm-hmm. And his wife kind of forced him. So there we go off the deep end. And right. way off the rails here. So.
Yeah. Well, now, Mike was giving a really good history lesson, and I thought mm-hmm. it was important. So this one is a little bit longer, Dave. It's a longer clip, but I think it's yep. a very, very important one as well. So
if Mike says it, it's probably important.
Yeah. Let's listen to it real quick.
The so-called Palestinians of today, on May the 13th, of 1948, which was what? The day before? May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation, right? So May 13th, the day before, who were the so-called Palestinian people? Well, they were Jordanians. They were Syrians. They were Lebanese. They were Afghanis. They were Iraqis. They were Iranians. They were not Israel. And not Palestine. Not Palestinians. You know how they arrived at the name Palestine? The Romans did that to the Jews as an insult, as a derogatory term. Palestine, the Palestinians, they took that name and that word from Israel's ongoing, you read it all through the Old Testament, their enemies, the Philistines. The Romans said, we're not going to call this land Israel no more. It's going to be called Palestine. Trying to get at Israel. And all of those nations that surrounded Israel on May the 13th, 1948, told the Arabs and Muslims living in the land, you better flee because Israel and the Jews will murder you. All the Muslim nations around Israel convinced the Arabs and the Muslims to flee or you would suffer a genocide. Now, what would you think if you were living in the land that became Israel and yet your fatherland or your motherland, however you want to talk about it, if you came from Jordan or Syria or Lebanon or whatever, if they said flee that place or you're going to die, and they did, what would the expectation be when I uprooted my family and left and went back to Lebanon or Egypt or Syria? What would the expectation be? Were they going to welcome me back? Did they? And even today, now, it's easy to understand why they don't allow men today. Because they're a hotbed of terrorists, first of all. But secondly, they are a very visible and powerful bargaining tool against Israel. Now, I tell you all of that to help you make sense of what's going on college campuses today. All of these ignorant, stupid, uneducated, seeking an education and being dumber in the process, wearing Arab and Muslim, what do they even call that scarf? We're all Hamas now. No, what you are an ignorant, gonna bust hell's gates wide open stooge. Is that plain enough? That's what they are. And it infuriates me to see this happen in America.
Yeah, it infuriates me to see it happen in America. But we are. I saw, and there have been numerous, it's played out on TV screens for days, the lady screaming, we are Hamas, pig. Remember that?
That's interesting because if she was actually over there in Hamas, they would kill her for doing that because women aren't allowed to do that.
Right. Yeah. It's insanity is going on in the United States right now. But this all comes back to the fact that God gave the land of Israel to the Jews, and he didn't give it to them on a temporary basis. He gave it to them on an everlasting basis. And from my understanding of the word everlasting, that means it lasts forever. Am I wrong about that, David?
No, he clearly says in the word that when Israel's back in the land, they shall never leave again.
Right.
So that means never. And, you know, when God writes something, there's this unusual thing that happens is everything comes to pass.
100%.
Exactly how he wrote it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, 100%. And right now, I have been listening to news reports over the past few days, and until I saw one, I'll reference in a minute, I was thinking, you know, all these guys are just, you know, this is an entire lost generation. And then I saw one group, it was a fraternity organization, that saw that they were about to bring down the American flag and with intent to burn it, I believe, and they all started chanting USA and defended that flag. And that gave me a little bit of hope, but right now, it was kind of bad when I went to school, but now the indoctrination is beginning as early as middle school in some cases. And as far as the Middle East goes, it begins at birth. They teach. I saw a little girl. She couldn't have been more than 5 or 6 years old. And they said, "What do you do with Jews?" And she was going, "Stab, stab, stab, stab." She just kept repeating the same word because that's the indoctrination. And again, this comes down to God said everybody's going to leave Israel and back everybody else. Now Biden wants to know their plan of what they're going to do in Rafah, where he can tip them off, where they can defend themselves. You know, this is insanity, but it's all coming true exactly the way the Bible said it would, right?
Absolutely. And you got to look at the bigger picture here. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. This is where it's at. And if you understand prophecy, you'll understand the narrative. It's kind of the same thing here. You have the firstborn kind of loses creation. That was Adam. And then we have the last Adam, you know, who came back and won it all back. So it's always that secondborn that actually inherits everything. And it's a pattern that's played out over and over. And that's because Satan tried to steal it. And we go back again, the beginning of Genesis, Satan wants to violate the contract, basically, or get mankind to violate the contract. Therefore, in his mind, he can bring that before the judge of the universe, who has to adjudicate, okay, yeah, they lost it, so now I have to give it to you. So that all along the way, when he found out that thy seed, you know, will be, you know, your head will be bruised, but thy seed will contend with her seed, the seed of the woman. So now the Messiah is coming, and he has to try and stop the Messiah.
Right.
All right. So he tries that, and he tries everything he can, but that didn't work. So now here we are at the end where he promised, the promise goes to Israel, they will rule on the earth while we're ruling in the heavens as the bride of Christ, as the church. Mm-hmm. We rule and reign with him, and Israel will rule on the earth.
Right.
And Jesus will rule in out of Jerusalem. If he, in his mind, can somehow thwart that plan. He did it with the Nephilim. He tried to, you know, corrupt the entire DNA so that Messiah couldn't come, because then you couldn't have a man. Mm-hmm. But then Noah, at that last minute, you know, was brought through all the destruction.
Right.
Now, the same thing is going to happen here. Mm-hmm. He's going to try and destroy Israel because he said, you'll see me again when you see blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So if he can get rid of Israel, that's why they want to kill all of them.
Right.
Then that one third out of Zechariah will not be able to say that. And again, in Satan's mind, he thinks that, oh, if they can't say it, then I win. And then I get the inheritance because it'll just be ruled in my favor. This is what he's thinking. And then the whole, you know, all the Mark of the Beast stuff that's coming along, that's all to change your DNA. And we've seen that over the past few years, haven't we? You're trying to change your DNA with certain injections that may or may not do that.
Right.
because, again, he has to have bodies for these demon spirits, the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim or demons. Mm-hmm. They have to inhabit something. So here he is setting up this big plan. I'm going to destroy Israel so they can't claim it, and then I'm going to have bodies for my guys to come out, and we're going to take over the universe. This is the bigger plan behind everything, and we're just seeing the little parts, you know, and most people, they don't even get it, and they're yelling, oh, I'm Hamas. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wait till you see what happens to them.
Yeah, wait till you see what happens to them is the whole thing there. And It's not going to be pretty. But the thing is, you know, David, I've been saying it for a long time. I think the United States is going to pick the wrong team. And I'm
every nation is. Yeah.
I'm getting more and more convinced of it. And the reason I'm saying it for us is because we're really the thing that keeps Israel from being attacked right now, is that, you know, other countries think thinks that the United States is going to do something. The United States isn't going to do diddly squat. Okay. Not as long as we got the government that we have right now, because they're afraid of losing one state in the upcoming election. And so they're going to bend over backwards to win one state out of 50.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'll destroy a whole people because I might lose the vote.
Yeah, exactly. You know, now, a lot of people are saying, well, okay, but Ishmael was the firstborn. No, he was not. He was a illegitimate child, is what he was. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, now you speak to contracts a lot. So if he's an illegitimate child, doesn't that invalidate any right that he would have under contract law?
It does, and the Bible even speaks of that, as Eliezer would be the inheriting one because he was the faithful servant, where Yitzhak was born from his wife and born out of promise. So it's, you know, here we are again with another picture when God cut the covenant with Abraham. He put him to sleep. So he's like, there's nothing you could do about this. This is what I'm doing.
Right.
And so we see that, and we see the same thing like we spoke about in the first half. This was beyond anything that they could done. You know, Sarai was going to be 90, and he was going to be 100 when they had the baby. And you're like, okay, how's that going to happen? Because she was barren her entire life, and now all of a sudden at 90, she's going to have a kid.
Yeah, so she laughed
it was
about
impossible
that.
From.
Yeah, she laughed from, about that, David. She laughed about it.
That's why they named him Isaac. Yitzhak means laughter, and we know that too. But yeah, so since they made their poor decision, that wasn't the deal. So there's no contract there. You can you can make that, but it's by fraud and deceit. And we know the first maxim of contract, you know, terms is it can't be by fraud or deceit.
Right.
And you can rescind your signature on it. So he just has absolutely no right to it, but claims that he does. And that's the brawler that's within him.
Yeah. So now God commanded Abram, or it might have been Abraham by this point, you'll have to point it out for me, but he commanded him to take Isaac and sacrifice him. And this made Ishmael's day. I mean, he thought, you know, he thought, oh, goody, goody. Now I get, you know, I get to be the main guy again. You've got all the info on that, David. Go for it.
Yeah. So we were looking in the book of Jasher before as well. And then we saw in the end where they were together in chapter 23, verse 20, we talked about Abraham went up with Isaac, his son, to bring him up as an offering before the Lord. And you see the two of them walking together. Eliezer, which is a type of the Holy Spirit, because God is my helper. That's what Eliezer means. And then Ishmael is, you know, the son of Hagar. And they're walking together. Apparently, according to Jasher, these were the two men that went up with him. And I don't know if that is actual fact or if they're trying to portray a picture here. But basically, Ishmael says, oh, good, he's going to kill Isaac. And then that means I get the inheritance. And Eliezer's like, no, I was the faithful servant and you were tossed out with your mom. So I get the inheritance. So again, that cosmic battle between our own works trying to inherit stuff or the Holy Spirit, you know, is the inheritor of all these things. And so how do we get the inheritance? Is it because we are of our good works, or is it because of God's work? And I would say it's God's work.
Now when Abraham went to sacrifice his only real legitimate son at that point, Isaac. Then all of a sudden he is angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. In other words, it was kind of a test from God. Now, I don't know, he said, go sacrifice him. And then when he got ready to do it, he said, nope, you're proving yourself to me. You don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. And now this is in Genesis, again, the first book of the Bible, chapter number 22. And let me see, I'm going down here, verse number 13. Mm-hmm. Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket of by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and I have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now, basically what he just did is he confirmed that Isaac is going to be his descendant, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's interesting because his mom is Hagar, and she did talk with the angel of the Lord, and a lot of people think that was a Christophany, but nonetheless, they spoke with God, and they believed in the same God, and it was rebellion, a man of his own works, and Yishmael means God will hear. So it's interesting because we are starting to see that. So it's not that we hate Muslims, we hate the evil and the deception that is Islam.
Right.
So, but the people, I mean, I know a lot, and they're really good people.
Well, I mean, God said, you know, that he was going to,
you know, the crazy ones, but
God said, you know, he was going to be the father of, I forget how many kings, right?
Ishmael had 12 sons himself.
Yeah.
And one of his daughters married Esau. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. But my point was, we're starting to see that the religious nuts that are over there within Islam are keeping down the gospel. And you get killed if you start preaching Jesus, and they put you like all sorts of crazy stuff they do. They blow up the churches. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is, here we are at the end of the age, and there are multitudes of these people, Iran and Iraq and all over there, that are saying Jesus is coming to us in dreams, and we're now Christians because he spoke to us. So I think God is hearing the cry of the people who are sincere to seek who really is God.
Agree.
And and even though Satan would try and take down that whole people and use that, God in his mercy will hear them anyway and destroy the religion part, but still have a multitude come out of them that do know who Yeshua HaMashiach is and recognize that they've been taught wrong this whole life and accept the truth. Yeah. And that's my story.
Well, now, going back to the Bible, and I believe they call the first few books the Tanakh, if I'm correct on that.
Yeah, that's the whole... Yeah, that's it. Basically, yeah.
Okay, so
it stands for the Torah. The Torah is the first five books. The Tanakh is all of them together.
Okay,
Torah and the writings and the prophets.
So now, doesn't the Quran, the Muslim holy book, doesn't that incorporate a lot of the Torah in it at the beginning?
Or
I mean, I've never read it. I've never picked one up. I don't have a clue, really. But I've heard that it has part of the Bible in it, but they conveniently leave out the part where God blesses Isaac, right? They don't
right, and they don't want to recognize it. Oh, that was Ishmael, that it really blessed him, and yada yada yada. They kind of change it all around. Now there's a reason for that.
Okay.
If you want the rat to eat rat poison, you can't just put poison out there. You have to mix it with a lot of good tasty food.
Mm-hmm.
So when people see that, oh well, look, he talks about Abraham and talks about Gabriel, and so it leads people in to take that bite of the poison, if you would.
Yeah. And now Muhammad tried to go to, again, I'm going kind of on memory here, and you can fill in the gaps, but he tried to portray himself as a prophet to the Israelis, right? And they turned him down. And that's really
where the root. Yeah, I got a better word. Yeah, sure you do. Mm.
That's where the root of this conflict really comes from, is Isaac and Ishmael. When you get right down to it, and you know, the God of Abraham is going to support Israel because he said he would. And again, everlasting means everlasting. It doesn't mean until 2024 when we have students protesting on campuses, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That just means we're getting closer because the devil's getting louder.
Right. Mm. Yeah. And which brings us, you know, to where we have always been with this show. And that's is we're trying to get you guys, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior yet, you need to do it now. Because, you know, just like there's a last play in every football game, there is going to be that last individual to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior before the rapture. And when the rapture occurs, it's game over. You know, if you haven't accepted Jesus yet, then you got to go through at least part of the Great Tribulation period. And that's the worst time the earth has ever seen or ever will see again. And you can avoid that by simply saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I ask you for your forgiveness. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he rose on the third day, just like he said he would. I know he sits at your right hand, and I know he's coming back for his church, like he said he would, and raise every Christian living and dead, meet him in the air, take you, we'll go to heaven or wherever he takes us. It's going to be a good place, I promise you.
Mm-hmm.
While the 7 years of tribulation play out, and then we'll come back with Jesus and reclaim the earth.
Yep.
And, you know, all of this is going to be part of the Gog and Magog war. Go to Ezekiel chapter 38. Grab a Bible. Look at it. Turn it to current events today. Look at the name of the countries that are coming against Israel and tell me that they're not aligning right now against Israel, right as we speak. I don't care whose news service you look at. Read it. Compare it. And tell me that what you see isn't playing out right before you right now. David? You know we got about a minute and a half. Go ahead.
Yep. All right. So this is all playing out. God wrote this even in the stars back at the beginning of the whole creation. And like he told Job, what are you going to, like, change it now? Can you move the Pleiades around? Can you number these people? Can you take the belt off Orion? It's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You can't change it. It's been written. And once it's written, this is the way it's going to go. The only thing that we have is because we made in the image of God and after his likeness have that free will to choose whether we're going to go with him and the story that is written of redemption, or you're going to go into the lake of fire, one who denies that story. And that's really the crux of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to choose?
Yeah.
You know, Bible says, yeah, I lay before you life and death. And I'll give you a hint. Choose life.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much all we have to say. That's why we do this show, is to get the word out, to tell everybody, hey, this is the Bible. It's 100% true. And if it is, then you need to accept Jesus as your Savior. So Lord willing, we pray that you will. And if we're still here, we will see you on the next show.
Good night.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
But put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.